a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. First thing I'm going to ask people is please check your cell phones and make sure they are in the vibrate position or off. I checked mine too. Thank you. With that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Cummack?
Here.
Hunhoff?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Solano?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
Valley?
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum. Well, now I want to formally introduce or welcome everyone here this morning. We have two bills up before us. Please remember, if you're going to testify on these bills, to sign in at the podium up front so that the secretary can get your name and who you represent properly in the record. Also want to welcome our internet listeners. We have a new page here, so if you'd step up to the microphone and introduce yourself and tell us what you're going to do with the rest of your life.
Okay. I'm Megan Schenk. I'm from Yankton, South Dakota, and I'm planning to go to Creighton and double major in business and biology to become a doctor.
Well, good. I have a niece that's at Creighton becoming a nurse, so maybe in a biology class you may run into her. All right. The minutes have appeared in your book. The chair would entertain a motion on those minutes.
So moved.
Been moved by Senator Monroe, seconded by seconded by Senator Otten. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are approved as written. If you do have handouts this morning, be sure and give them to the page, and she'll distribute them around the back of us so we don't interrupt the proceeding. And please remember, when we do questions, that they questions always come through the chair. With that, we have two bills this morning, and they are Senate Bill 22 and Senate Bill 40, and I see no reason not to take them in the same order that they are on your schedule. Anything else this morning before we get started? Seeing none, we'll first take up Senate Bill 22 to revise a penalty for altering a registration device issued by a dealer. Department of Public Safety, please come forward and introduce yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for your time today. My name is Lisa Weyer. I am the Deputy Director for the Division of Motor Vehicles. I come before the committee today asking for your support of Senate Bill 22. The purpose of this bill is twofold. First, it is clarifying the authorized entities that issue registration cards and temporary permits for motor vehicles. Second, it is providing for fair and consistent penalties for anyone who forges or alters a registration card or temporary permit. Current statute 32-5-103.1 refers to the Department of Revenue as the entity who issues motor vehicle registration cards and temporary permits. This specific language to the department creates a legal barrier that could protect someone who forges or alters a registration device issued by another authorized entity. Clarification is needed because most registration cards and temporary permits are issued by county treasurers, licensed motor vehicle dealers, and even private individuals. In Section 1, this is solved by removing the specific reference to the department, thereby including the county treasurers and private individuals. And by adding a reference to Chapter 32-6B, it incorporates motor vehicle dealers. In addition, current Statute 32-6B-29, which regulates motor vehicle dealers, currently states that no person may renew, change, or alter the temporary 30-day permit issued by licensed dealers and are subject to a Class 1 misdemeanor if a violation occurs. The Section 2 amendment strikes the language to change or alter, making it clear that any alteration or forging of a temporary permit is addressed in 32-5-103.1, and that all individuals who forge or alter a temporary permit would be subject to the same penalty, a Class 6 felony. A prison-jail population cost estimate statement has been filed, and the impact of this bill on prison or jail populations is estimated to be low. Your support of this bill is greatly appreciated. I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. I think what we'll do this time is, if there's any questions anybody has, this is, I don't see a whole lot of people waiting to testify, so if you have questions, now might be the good time to ask them. If not, we'll see if there's anyone else who wants to testify. Any questions? Senator Hanhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It doesn't relate to the changes in the bill, but I just look at this and I see two different, what look to me fairly equal violations, and yet we have two different penalties. And I don't, maybe you're not prepared to answer that, but any thoughts on that? Why do we have a Class 6 felony for the first and a Class 1 misdemeanor for the other?
Mr. Chair, to answer that question, and the forging or altering of any of those registration devices is a more severe crime, so that penalty is a higher penalty. In the Class 1 misdemeanor, it's a less of a crime, and that is more so specified for any misuse of that temporary permit, not necessarily changing the 3 to an 8 and forging that document. Misuse is placing that maybe on an incorrect vehicle.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't see anybody here representing the auto dealers, so they must be fine with this bill. But just for my education on it, when I go down to the last paragraph talking about dealers, you know, a dealer has a vehicle, they have a title, it was traded in, they sell it, they receive payment, and then after the check clears, usually they'll send the title to the guy or gal and they send it into the state. What if it doesn't all, they issue that for a 30 day, is it just a 30 day or is it longer, the temporary white plate that they put on a car for them to drive? And what happens if they don't receive their title back from the state within that 30 day period? Can they no longer drive the car? Can the dealer, they can't write a new white plate, can they?
Mr. Chair?
Please.
Senator Peterson, it is, the temporary permit is for 30 days. We do have an extended permit or an additional permit that they can get for an additional 15 days if needed. And typically that has not been a problem as far as that dealer getting that title to them and the temporary permit is still valid. So.
Further questions? Okay. Further proponents of Senate Bill 22. Further proponents. We may have some more questions. Don't get too far. No, I mean you can sit down, but and I apologize. This is Lisa's first day at testifying before a committee, and I think she did an excellent job. So I didn't mean to startle you there.
Yes.
Is there any other proponents of Senate Bill 22? Any other proponents? Last call for proponents. Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 22? Any opponents? Last call for opponents. Seeing no opponents, are there any further questions on Senate Bill 22? Further questions? Seeing none, we'll close it to public testimony and open it up for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kamak.
I would move do pass.
Been moved by Senator Kamak to do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Otten. Discussion on that motion, Mr. Kamak.
I think it looks like a fairly straightforward, common sense change in the law, and we should back it up.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, I'll just say that I can see where you could easily do this with a 3 and an 8. Let's say it's March, you know, that it goes out and it's 8 and or 3, and you could just kind of just make that an 8 and get by for a while. So, and I think that's what they're trying to eliminate. And the second part was in drafting it previously, it says the department, and it isn't just the department that does this. So we just got to make sure that somebody doesn't try and sneak in and say that it was the law says this. So I think it's a good cleanup bill. So with that, seeing no further discussion, Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Senators Kamak?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 22 has received a majority vote of the committee and will go to the floor. Senator Otten.
Move to put this on consent.
Second.
It's been moved to put the Senate Bill 22 on the consent calendar and by Senator Monroe and seconded by Senator Otten. Any objection to that? Any objection? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 22 will go to the Senate floor on the consent calendar. And for those of you who do, and some folks just walked in, when we say we put it on the consent calendar, that means that this bill had no objections from anyone on the committee. So we're going to send it down to the floor, but it will not be on what we call the debate calendar. It will be on the consent calendar. You can ask questions about the bill, but you can't debate it unless you want to pull it from the consent calendar. And tomorrow, or that would be Monday, when it appears, you got to go down to the floor and you've got to tell the President of the Senate that you want to pull that because you want to debate the bill. So the bill can be perfectly debated if anyone objects. But we have a lot of bills, and like this one was kind of a cleanup bill. No one's objecting to it. So why take it up and take our time to debate it on the floor? Because we have other important issues that we want to get to. So that's why it's appearing on the consent calendar. All right. We will now move to Senate Bill 40. And that is being brought to us today by the Department of Public Safety. Please come forward and introduce yourself. I like your tie.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Captain Brewers. I'm with the Department of Public Safety.
I'm sorry. Good morning, everybody. My name is Captain John Brewers. I'm with the Department of Public Safety. I'm the commander for the Motor Carrier Division. And if I can tell a war story about Senate Bill 22, as a trooper in 2003, I pulled a fellow over for changing his 2003 expiration date to 2008. that seemed a little odd that it was a four-year or five-year permit, so I took care of him and educated that he can't do that. I want to wish also everybody, especially Mr. Chairman, Bowtie Friday. I don't know if it's a happy or merry Bowtie Friday. I see we need to encourage some other folks to celebrate this weekly holiday with us. And I got to tell you, I like Bowtie Friday. It seems everywhere I go, where my friends and coworkers are, it makes them happy because they instantly start grinning at me because they know how I usually dress. And suddenly they want to take pictures with me. And they're always pointing at my tie, and somehow it ends up on Facebook and traded amongst everybody else. And they grin. But it makes them happy, so I'm more than happy to wear the bow tie. This morning when I was getting ready for work, I always kind of try to personalize some of my stories, but it didn't take me as long as it did last year to tie my bow tie with the assistance of YouTube and a mirror. I got it down to about 10 minutes instead of 20 minutes like last year. But I did get it tied, and of course I checked with my wife to make sure I look okay before I leave the house, and she gave me the wink and I don't know how to write that down, but I was happy when I left the house with a wink and a. So I felt I was presentable for everybody this morning. Senate Bill 40 is our annual update of the motor carrier regulations. We try to take a snapshot of these federal regulations every year on January 1st, and we say anything that was in effect with the federal regulations works for state law for those trucks that have to go with the federal regulations. This year, it actually rolls a few of these laws back. A couple of years ago, we made some changes to the logbook regulations, or hours of service is what they're called. We changed it from a weekly total of driving could either be, usually it's a 70-hour total for the week that a truck driver can drive. That's about, the average is about 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. They can drive up to 11 hours in a day, but they said after 70 hours, you need to take a couple of days off. And they said you got to do 34 hours. A couple years ago, we said in that 34 hours, you had to have two periods between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. There's lots of studies out there that says at night, you need to sleep at night because that's when your natural body clock says you need to get some sleep. And you'll get more restful, peaceful sleep if you do that between there. Well, industry had some issues with that. It doesn't work for everybody. And some courts agreed that maybe the research needs more research needs to be done if we're going to require folks and tell them in what specific hours they need to sleep. So FMCSA has rolled that back to the previous rules where it says any 34-hour restart, or excuse me, any 34-hour period will start that 70-hour clock back over at zero. It's a challenge, both legal in the court system and industry concerns. So we want that to match with our neighboring states and across the nation, so truck drivers know what it is they're expected to do. One of the other changes was every day a truck driver's got to check his truck. He's got to make sure it's mechanically safe from defects before they start driving. It's as simple as checking your tires, checking your lights, and a few other things. Well, if there's no defects found, they still fill out a report and they submit that to their company. The company's got to keep it on record for 6 months. Whether you call it going green or you call it eliminating an inconvenience, now if there's nothing wrong with that truck, no defects are noted on that daily vehicle inspection, they don't have to keep the record of it. They still have to check the truck to make sure everything's working properly. They just don't have to keep a piece of paper in the file cabinet for another 6 months. Has nothing to do with roadside enforcement. We don't check that as the highway patrol, but it's a record-keeping requirement for the company. The next significant change is last spring, Senator Thune sponsored a bill called the Reliable Home Heating Act. What that did is when there's a shortage of home heating fuels, the governor has the power to suspend the federal trucking regulations for those transporting those home heating fuels for 30 days. According to the regulations, once that 30-day period was over, if that emergency persisted, the FMCSA or the federal level, all the way up and including to the president, were the only ones that could extend that 30-day period. So what the Reliable Home Heating Act did for his reference to trucking is it gave the governor the power to extend that 30-day period two additional times so we can regulate our own emergencies, basically. It gave a little more power back to the states. To do it, I'll say the old way, it's cumbersome and it takes some time. And sometimes we don't have that if there is a true emergency where we've got people that don't have enough fuel to heat their homes. So it gives the states a little more power to waive those regulations for those hauling that. One thing to note, though, is it's just for that commodity. That's all that the Reliable Home Heating Act did was to give the ability to suspend those regulations for home heating fuels. It doesn't apply to hay or oil field equipment or Walmart trucks or anything like that. It's just those transporting those fuels. The last thing that this bill does is it updates the references to the age in which a CDL can be obtained. It's a sister bill to Senate Bill 41, because one changes, the other one has to also. The actual bill, if you'll notice, there's only a few changes to dates. Like I said, this is our annual adoption that we try to do. We changed the date from January 1st of 2014 to 2015. There's a couple of spots where it does that. And then for the minimum age, which you can do a CDL, we had to change that from 16 to 18. I'll let Senate Bill 41 kind of give you much more background into that. But we're up to our last year to change the minimum age in which you can apply for a CDL from 16 to 18. We have to substantially adopt certain rules, otherwise we'd be out of compliance. And like anything that comes on some of these, the feds can withhold some highway funds from us if we don't make these changes. The first year that we were found to be out of compliance, they could withhold $9.5 million from us and then $19 million the second year. The thing with those federal monies is they don't come back to the state once we do get in compliance. The good news is for 16 or 17-year-olds with CDLs, there's only three currently in South Dakota. It won't affect them. They'll be able to keep their CDLs. It's just any new folks that come in, a 17-year-old that wishes to have a CDL, they won't be able to apply for one until they turn 18. I would point out also it has no effect on agriculture. A farm kid that's 17 years old that needs to help dad get crops into the elevator, he's not affected because he's not required to have a CDL. So it doesn't have any effect there. And again, we average, I don't want to say average, but it's usually counted on one hand how many 17-year-olds in South Dakota have a CDL. With that, I'm hoping you give Senate Bill 40 a wink and a, just like my wife did my bow tie this morning. And I'd be happy to stand by if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Browers. Further proponents of Senate Bill 40.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the executive director and lobbyist for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. In the first bill today, you had somebody that was their first time testifying. This is my 19th time testifying on this particular bill, and my first captain that I testified with happened to be Captain Myron Rao. So times have changed. You still see the same faces around here, but have always been proud to work with the Motor Carrier Division of the Highway Patrol and always been a firm believer that this adoption is very important. A lot of you have already sat on transportation committee, so you've heard us talk about this a little bit. There's sometimes concerns about overregulation of government, but in this case, this prevents what we call checkerboarding, which when we move, we carry propane and petroleum products, diesel, gasoline, ethanol. And when we move to different pipelines out of state, this helps us ease through those states with the same regulations. And I'm going to talk about one section of the bill in particular, or what's a change that's near and dear to my heart, and Captain Brewer's just mentioned that, and that's the Reliable Home Heating Fuel Act. And our group was the one that went to Senator Thune last January when we had no propane in the state for home heating fuel and asked him to sponsor that bill. And just a little history about that bill. We could not find very many sponsors. We had a very tough time. His co-sponsor was Amy Klocher from Minnesota with only about 10 sponsors on that bill. We passed it unanimous consent through the U.S. Senate, and then we passed it unanimous consent through the U.S. House. And from beginning to end, signed into law, it was less than 60 days, which I think is probably a record. So kudos to Senator Thune, Senator Johnson, Representative Noem, Captain Brewers, and everybody else that helped us do that. So this is an important adoption, and it's, you know, every year we just change that date on there. But from our industry standpoint, we really do need to stay consistent from state to state, and it really does help us. So I will stand by for any questions, and thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Donna. Further proponents of Senate Bill 40. Further proponents, Senate Bill 40. Last call for proponents of Senate Bill 40. Opponents, any opponent to Senate Bill 40. Opponents. Last call for opponents. Seeing no opponents, we'll open it up for questions by the committee. Any questions? Senator Kamak.
I just have one quick question. On this particular bill, as it pertains to the 16 to 18-year-old CDL change, that change will not come into effect until July 1st. Anyway, so those individuals could...
Mr. Chairman.
You finished with your question?
Yes, yes.
I didn't mean to...
No. We haven't tied an emergency clause to this one, so correct. It wouldn't go in until July 1st.
So there would be some forewarning of this?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm going to add to that, anyone that has a CDL right now, if I'm one of those people, there's only three people in the state that have a CDL and they're under the age of 18, they're still going to be keep their CDL. It's just that if I turn 16, I would not be able to apply for one. Would that be correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. The language says they wouldn't be able to apply for a CDL until they're 18 years old.
So if I wanted to get around it, I suppose I could apply within the next, between now and July 1, and then would I be grandfathered?
My understanding would be yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Solano.
First year on transportation, so this may be a question that I should know, but I don't. Where it amends the year to, from 2014 to 2015, I anticipate that this is something that happens each year, and is there not a mechanism to allow that to just be an ongoing update each calendar year?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Browers, would you care to answer that?
Sure. Senator Solano, we do this once a year. We do what's called a dot by reference. We say what the feds say for this kind of truck from this section of law to this section of law, we want to adopt and make that law in South Dakota. Some states adopt automatically. So as soon as a regulation changes in the federal regulations, it becomes law in that particular state. I can't speak entirely to the history of it. I can say we've always done it this way. The advantage to this is we give the opportunity to you folks to decide what's right for South Dakota. It might be okay for Virginia, but not for South Dakota. So we adopt by reference. So each year you can choose whether or not we're going to adopt those new regulations.
Thank you. I think there also was a court case that put that into some type of question as to whether you can just continually do that without making an effort every year to adopt those and just not let some other outside entity affect our laws without us taking an affirmative action, I think is what the idea was. And maybe someone, Senator Hunhoff, you've been here longer than I have, but I think that's kind of the thought process behind that, if I'm not... Yeah. So I think that's... Senator Monroe, do you have anything to add there?
That's exactly right. We had two or three lawsuits, and we have to keep doing the cross out the year before and put the new one in every year now. So, better for South Dakota.
Further questions by the committee? No further questions? Okay, thank you. With that, if there are no further questions, we'll close it to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Otten.
Move do pass.
Been moved by Senator Otten, do pass, and seconded by Senator Monroe. Discussion on that motion, Mr. Otten.
No, everything is straightforward.
Okay. Anyone else? Comments on the motion do pass? Seeing none, the secretary will call the roll. Those in favor of Senate Bill 40 say aye. Those opposed say nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Senators Kamak?
Aye.
Hunhoff? Otten?
Yes.
Peterson?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 40 has received a majority vote of the committee, and it will go to the floor.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
I move that Senate Bill 40 be placed on the consent calendar.
It's been moved by Senator Monroe that we move Senate Bill 40 to the floor on the consent calendar. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Moved by Senator Peters, seconded by Senator Peterson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Senate Bill 40 will go to the floor on the consent calendar. Senator Kamak, will you take the first bill, Senate Bill 22, to the Republican caucus? And Senator Peterson, will you take it to your caucus? And Senate Bill 40... we'll go with Mr. Otten. If you'll take it to the floor for the Republicans, and Senator Hunhoff, will you take it to the floor for your caucus? All right. And with that, anything else by the committee? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to just make a comment, but this was one of the most delightful testimonies that I've seen in a long, long time.
Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
Senator Monroe.
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering if it's appropriate if we can really check a bow tie for a clip or if we just have to leave him alone.
I would be happy to untie it for you, but that's the way he's going to stay until I get back to
you. Get back to YouTube, huh?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kamak.
I do have some question about if the testifier was trying to bring undue influence to the chair.
No comment. Maybe that's the best thing to say. All right. Seeing nothing to come before or else to come before the committee, the chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So
moved by Senator Solano, second by Senator Otten. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.